Everybody joining us, thank y'all so much for tuning in. We want you to know we count it a great honor for all of you that are joining us, and thank you for encouraging other people to join. And some people are giving online, man, thank God for that. And I want to assure you that your gifts are your seed sowed in good soil, and we take it very seriously, and we take it to multiply the kingdom, and we're about that. And we just want to say a big thank you for being a part of what God's doing, because that makes you a part of it too. And we love you and appreciate you so much. For thank you for hitting that give now button, and it's not going to hurt our feelings if you hit it often. We're just going to praise God and go forward. But we're so thankful for you, and I'm going to share with you a couple of scriptures. We're in a brand new series, and we can hear the shouts all around the world on that one. Yeah, hopefully you know how to meditate on God in the Word now. Let's see how many times I mention that in this sermon. But really and truly, we're starting a new series, and I think it's going to be very, very powerful. I think one of the things that the Lord whispered to me early on in my teen years is that he was going to cause me to be a champion for Christ. And I didn't see myself that way. You may not see yourself that way, but a champion in Christ you are. And that's the series. And so we're going to cover principle. A principle is the way God operates. We're going to cover a principle one week. And then a person that in the Bible that was a champion for Christ the next week. Because we want you to relate. We want you to connect. And that's what champions do. And champions have a certain language. I'm calling it champion chatter, okay? Champions talk victory. They don't talk defeat. The world talks defeat. That's all they know, okay? And when they do talk victory, it's a hope, or it's like a gambling, or throwing dice in the dark. But I'm telling you, God's given us and promised us victory. And he's declared us to be victorious because our champion, Jesus Christ, is victorious. And the Bible says he always leads us into triumph. That makes you a champion. Jesus does. And so there's some principles we're going to cover. We're going to cover one today. But here's a verse in, I guess it's Genesis. Yeah, Genesis 49, 8 and 9. And I just want to make this picture because a lot of times we picture the enemy being a lion. It's referred to that in Scripture. That's not the only picture of a lion. You're also referred to as a lion. And remember that we are engrafted in to Judah because of what Jesus did. All right? We're not just beg-alongs or come-along and we're adopted. No, no, no. We were grafted in. And I want to tell you, it's a beautiful picture. And so we connect with Judah here because of what Jesus has done for us. And if you've accepted Christ, Genesis 49, 8 says, Judah, you're the one whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Does that sound like victory to you? Your father's sons shall bow down to you. Does that sound like an overcomer? Now look how he refers to Judah. He refers to Judah as a lion's cub. Okay, so they're called a lion. And lions have a voice, and it's a voice of victory. And it's a voice that intimidates, right? And it's a voice that announces victory. But look what he says. Hey, my son, my lion cub. And we're lion cubs under Jesus because he's our Lion of Judah. Amen? Amen? And he stooped down and crouched like a lioness. Who dares provoke and rouse him? In other words, we have authority. You're called a lion, you have authority. And look at Revelation 5:5 because I did refer to it. One of the elders has said, stop weeping. Hey, it's time for shouting now. All right, I know there's been weeping for a season with people, but I want to tell you, your shouting day is here. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I want to tell you, no matter what you've been weeping about, when you see the Lion of Judah, he turns your weeping into shouting. Because when you see him, you receive of him. Very powerful. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root, the source of David, who has won. Look at there, he's our victory. Who has overcome and conquered. Now, because he has overcome and conquered, and when you accept Christ, you become in Christ, and Christ is in you. That's why the Bible says that now you're an overcomer. The Bible calls us overcomers. The Bible calls us more than conquerors. This is for you. And so I want to tell you, there's a whole lot for us to celebrate. As a matter of fact, lions have a voice, and you ought to have that voice of victory in you. The Bible says, shout unto the Lord with a loud voice. Let's give our lion roar unto the Lord, the Lion of Judah. Ready? One, two, three. Yeah! Come on, that's a good roar. Did you do that at home? Come on now. There ought to be a roar in the house because it honors him, because he's our champion. There's a lot of different languages. I want to tell you, the teens, every few years, update my vocabulary because vocabulary tends to change. It tends to be alive. And what meant one thing, because I've been working with teens for decades, and what meant one thing with teen talk decades ago is not even on the page now. As a matter of fact, they taught me some things this year that I had no idea what those words meant. And so I want to tell you, every decade has a language. Boy, we see that with emoji and texting. Am I right? You know, those wouldn't have made sense even 20 years ago. And also, I have found out that different geographical groups, because I've had the joy of preaching in different parts of the nation, and different geographical groups have different language. Boy, it's good to go and learn. And even in church groups, different titles of churches have different language that they're used to. And I'd have to go into a different title of a church, because I got to preach in a number of different titles of churches, and I'd have to go in and kind of listen to what their code word was to get an amen out of them, because it's a learned language, okay? But I found out if I would learn the code word there about how to prompt them to say amen, I'd have a whole lot more witnessing in the service, okay? And thank God that you do a lot of witnessing. It helps me preach faster and all the people said. See there? I'm preaching faster right now. But sometimes in geographical areas, and I talk about East Texas a lot because that's where I'm from, and there's a language there in different parts, West Texas, East Texas, different parts of the country. But I've even noticed that the family of God speaks Christianese sometimes. You know, especially if you've grown up in church, you speak Christianese. And when you're talking Christianese to people out in the world, they go, what are you saying? What are you talking about? And, you know, but the Bible has a divine pattern of speech that we need to know. It's a champion talk, and it's the language of faith. And it's champion chatter. And I know a lot of times in athletics, and especially in football, it seems like, you know, when you saw a team that a coach had convinced them, even though they may not, and this is part of what I love about football, is that it may not be the most talented team on the field, but if they play with wholeheartedness and aggressiveness and with emotion, and they sell themselves out, and especially if their coach has convinced them that they could whoop anybody, it's amazing the difference that can make. And sometimes it's described in football that a team has a swagger about them. And I know that can be looked at, you know, from human point of view, is that, you know, they're just prideful and all that. No, I want to tell you, there's a confidence that we should have in Christ. And the confidence in Christ should be confident in him, not in ourselves, right? So there's a difference. But I want to tell you, when you're confident in your God, and we're to get to know him where that we can be confident in the Lord, this is the way faith operates, is confidence in him. Not yourself or people, but in him. But when we're confident in him, guess what? It shows up as holy boldness. And holy boldness intimidates the enemy. When he sees if you know who you are, he also sees if you don't know who you are. And he can come with a simple lie and get you off track, because that's about all he's got anymore. Because Jesus said that he took away the very power of the enemy, and he says that nothing he can do will harm us. Well, if he's taken away the harm of the enemy, and you are convinced in confidence in your God, how big you are, how big God is, and how that the enemy cannot harm you because of your God, then I want to tell you, it gives you a holy boldness to walk in this life. You don't walk through this life scared. You walk in faith. You don't walk through this life begging. A lot of Christians are beggars. We don't go through begging. We go through as a commander. Big difference. And we're going to get into that, because that's the way champions are, okay? And they see themselves as God sees them. Mark 11, 12 through 14. We're going to see some of the faith language that Jesus was teaching the disciples. On the day following, Mark 11, 12. On the day following, When they had come away from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, he went to see if he could find any fruit on it. For in the fig tree, the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves. Now, I know it doesn't happen this way in Texas. You got to get your mind off the Texas fig trees. This is over in that part of the world. This particular fig tree, when the leaves showed up, the fruit was there. And so here's Jesus and the disciples walking back from Jerusalem, and you know what? They see that, you know what? There's a fig tree there, leaves there, and so it's supposed to have fruit. And so he goes up because he's hungry to get some fruit, and the fig tree is a liar. It's a lying fig tree. And he's using this. He uses this as a show-and-tell lesson, because I want to tell you something. He knows in our journey we see and come across a lot of lying fig trees in our life. A lot of lying fig trees. And I want to tell you, a lying fig tree can disappoint you, disturb you, offend you, and get you off track. Oh, come on now, don't look too spiritual, because it doesn't take much to get us off track sometimes. But I want to tell you, if there's a lying fig tree in your past, and you don't overcome or put that lie in its place, that lie can rule and reign in your life. And it's not supposed to rule and reign in your life. Truth is supposed to rule and reign in your life. And Jesus is our champion, and he can help you overcome any fig tree that has shown up in your life. Because I want to tell you, a lie steals. A lie kills. A lie destroys. A lie, a simple lie, can hinder someone from fulfilling their potential in this life. Mm-mm-mm. Who are we giving our allegiance to? Let's give our allegiance to truth and all the people set. And seeing in the distance a fig tree, so he comes up, there's no figs. And he said to it, now who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the fig tree. You say, well, that's a little strange. No, no, no. There's a spiritual principle here. Because some of us have fig trees that go back into our family history. And we name that fig tree and say, well, that's just the way we are. I mean, my last name's Hall, and that fig tree's been in our family for generations, and that's just the way we are. But I want to tell you, our life is not dependent on a failure of the past or a weakness in a heritage, because when we accept Christ, we are a new creation in Christ. Amen? So we have a lot to shout about and look forward to. But Jesus is speaking to the fig tree. And if we have people today that will speak to the lying fig trees in their life, you're going to see an overcoming victory. Wow, we have a lot to look forward to. And so he spoke to the fig tree. And this is what he said to the fig tree, because the fig tree was lying. The fig tree was saying, fruit, I got fruit, I got fruit. And Jesus walked up and saw that the fig tree was lying. No one ever again shall eat fruit from you. He exposed the lie. He rebuked the lie. He renounced the lie. That's very important, isn't it? And his disciples were listening. Don't you know they were taking this in? Wait, who's he talking to? No, hey, he's speaking to the tree, man. Let's check this out. We hadn't seen him talk to trees yet. This is good. Mark 11, 20. In the morning when they were coming back, okay, they passed the same way. And they noticed that the fig tree was withered completely. It was completely dead. When they left that day, it was alive. When they came back the next day, it was completely dead. Away, and specifically, see, the Holy Spirit doesn't waste words, to its roots. Now, I want to tell you, when the roots of the lies in your life die, there's a whole lot of freedom for you to enjoy. Lord, we love you. And Peter, remembering this, see, they're gathered around. They want to know, hey, we've never seen this before. And he points it out to Jesus. Jesus, do you see what's happened here? Now, well, of course he does. Now, don't laugh too hard, because we talk funny things to heaven sometimes. Lord, did you see what just happened? Can you believe this? Well, he's God. Okay, he knows. You're not going to surprise him. You're not going to shock him. Amen. Master, look. See the exclamation point? I want to tell you, I shared with our leadership, one of our leadership meetings before, Mountain Movers meeting this week, that you know what, when we read the Word of God, you remember what I said? Let's put life in the Word. Put expression. Put enlightenment into the Word when you read it. You don't read, and so a lot of people read the scripture and they'll say, and Peter remembered and said to him, Master, look, the fig tree that you, no, there's exclamation point here. Get in there, feel a little sand in between your toes, okay? No, you don't have on cowboy boots. You got sandals on. Get a little sand in there and be there in the moment. And Peter's looking and he's saying, this is shocking. And he's saying, look, Master, the fig tree that you cursed, that you doomed, it's died just like you said it would. And Jesus replied, have faith in God. Constantly, continually, have faith in God. And I say this is an important message from Jesus himself because a lot of believers don't believe they need faith until they have a crisis. And then when a crisis shows up on their doorstep, then they want to say, oh, wait a minute, where's the faith at? Oh, where's my faith? What did the preacher say? What was that verse? What was that verse? It's just like I had a parent one time tell me. And, doesn't the Bible say don't hurt your kids? Don't discipline them because it'll hurt their feelings? No. Okay. Well, I could preach on that. I think I ought to, but I don't have time today. Y'all don't be saying amen too loud. It make me want to go there. And Jesus replied, have faith in God. Because a lot of times we just think faith for events is just for rescues. Now, God loves you so much, he will rescue you, and he does rescue you. But I'm here to announce to you there's a whole lot more involved in faith than for rescues. Hey, listen, he wants faith to be a part of your daily life. I mean, every day is a faith day. A lot of people think every day is a holiday. Okay, well, let's make it a holy day. That's what the word originally meant. But let's make every day a faith day where we trust and lean on the Lord and we practice faith. See, when you practice exercising your hope, your love life, and your hope and your faith in the normal everyday life for the little things, and then when something big shows up, you're already tuned in. Your engine's already warmed up. You're already looking at him because you're practicing every day. And it's a whole lot easier to receive from God during a time of crisis when you've been receiving from him every day. I'm telling you, we get phone calls. Pastors get phone calls. What's God's address? Because I'm in trouble now. I hadn't seen him in a long time, but I need some help. Well, he loves you so much. He's a very present help in time of trouble. But there's a greater way to live. So involve Jesus. He loves interaction. So anyway, Jesus is showing us some faith slang, some language of champions. He cursed a fig tree for not bearing fruit. The next day when they passed by, the disciples were amazed. He was not. Okay? They gathered around him amazed and eager to learn more about how something like this could ever happen because they had never seen anything like it. Let me say, we haven't seen anything yet. I know we've seen some miracles. I know we've seen God do some amazing things with people. Restoration and, boy, just a touch, a healing touch. And financial provision that's been miraculous. It's so exciting. But we've just scratched the surface. There's a lot more to come. So stay involved. Stay interacting. Be a part of what God's doing. Be on the front line. Amen? And so Jesus shared with them how the faith of God. And you say, well, that's a different terminology. Well, this is out of Young's. And, you know, I love Young's. And he was a great language believer. And he spent the lifetime studying the language. And he was so amazing about it. And got a concordance, Young's concordance. And it's called a literary translation because he tries to go exactly. And listen to the way he translates this. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith of God. Well, that's a little different, isn't it? Well, I want to tell you, he's right on. Because in the New Testament, when you receive Christ, you receive his faith. We're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but by the faith of God who lives in me. It's God's faith. And I want to tell you, God's faith is not the type of thing where Texans and Galileans think a lot alike. And the Texans will say, well, just give me more. Because, you know, here in Texas, bigger is better. Just give me more faith, God. And I'll be on target here. And Jesus is showing them, fixing to show them, that it's not the size of your faith, Texans. It's not the size of your faith, Galileans, because they were the same way. But he's saying it's exercising the portion of faith that you have is not more faith, it's using what God's already given you. That's our problem. But I want to tell you what God's already given us, even though it could be the size of a mustard seed, is great God kind of faith that can move mountains and take mulberry trees and rip them up by the roots. You see, we may have roots deep in us. It's the roots. And I know sometimes we spend our lifetime chopping off fruit. And you can go to counselors and they'll help you chop off the fruit. But the fruit reappears somewhere else, maybe in another form, another name. There's all kind of different manifestations of fear, amen, for example. But, you know, if the root of fear is still alive, it's going to show up again somewhere. The root's got to be taken out. Boy, that's good preaching there. I like that. I'm about to preach myself happy on this. I got to keep preaching. Okay, have God's kind of faith. Jesus didn't rebuke him for asking, by the way. And so it's okay to ask the Lord. I ask him all the time. I don't have all the answers. I don't hear as well as I want to hear, but I'm hearing better. And I want to tell you, you can too. Because part of what you got when you got saved was ears to hear and eyes to see. And so we want to see him and hear him, don't we? What he did was invite them all to come partake of that same power, God faith, and same ability that he and the Father shared. It wasn't just for Jesus and the Father. It's for you. It's for us. It's the power of faith. Hey, it's kingdom slang. It's champion chatter. Kingdom slang is faith. They talked faith. When we learn God's way of speaking, we're going to see and experience God's kind of results. Boy, is anybody interested in that? When we start saying what he says, okay, we'll start seeing what he sees. Wow, I'm ready for some kingdom results. I tell you what, the world has seen Tim Hall's ministry. They're not impressed. But they'll be impressed with Jesus' ministry. Come on, somebody. Jesus didn't just stop at just pointing them the right direction. No, he wants us to know. And he continued to teach them about what faith speak is. It's about the power of your words. And it's not just your words. It's what you embrace in your heart. And the Bible describes that if you say one thing, but your heart is saying something else, then what you're saying and thinking in your heart is what you really are, no matter what comes out of your mouth. Oh, excuse me for laughing. Okay. Mark 11:23. For assuredly, boy, this is strong now. This is strong. That's like when your mama said, did you hear what I said? And now I'll tell you serious here. For assuredly, I say to you. Now I want you to notice how many times he says. I mean, it's speaking. It's of speaking. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. You see, it's a connection. Got to be a connection here between your heart and what you speak. If your heart's aligned with God and lined up and believing and resting in what God is and what he's saying, confidence in God, and you speak it, there's power. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, there it is again, will be done. He will have whatever he says, whatever he speaks. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask, there it is, when you pray and believe that you receive. See the alignment with the heart? Jesus said, you will have them. Somebody say wow in the house. I am telling you, hallelujah, this is so powerful. I'm telling you this is powerful. How many times has just Jesus mentioned this word says a number of times? Faith works by faith speaks. You got to see that this is voice activated. Boy, that's important. Now, in this technology world that we live in, you understand, all right, how that the authority of the spoken word can cause things to happen, even with technology. Okay, I got a little sample for you on that in just a minute. The way you exercise your blood-bought authority as a believer in facing every mountain, boy, it's important, in facing every mountain in your life, any challenge in your life that you're facing, any obstacle that's keeping you from pursuing or progressing, any of those obstacles, is simply the way Jesus broke it down is that we believe what Jesus says, what the Word says about it, and we say what God says about it. We align our heart, we submit our heart, and yield our heart to the Lord in what He's saying, and we speak it. Now, to confess, very powerful word, confess. What it means is to agree with God. When you confess, you agree with God. When you speak agreement with God, I want to tell you, you're in a win-win. And I want to tell you, those words of authority have great power. Simply believe and speak. Now, there are childish. I know the Bible says we're to be childlike, but we're not to be childish. And childish is very self-centered. And if your focus is on yourself, you've heard me say it, if you just focus on yourself, you're such a small package. There's a whole lot more than focusing on yourself. You're depressed. I can just announce it to you. You're depressed if you focus on yourself. How depressed and how disappointed are you? But here's the deal. You know, our focus is on Jesus. But it's childish according to what the Bible says. And the Bible says we miss in prayer when we pray childish. Because the Bible says that we pray for to satisfy on our own lust, our own selfish, childish desires. Okay? All right? You understand that? I don't have to explain that. But we're not to ask for things to be consumed on our own lust. You can miss. The Bible says you miss that way. Here's the way what champions know. Champions know the power of faith is voice activated. And faith, and boy, this is important. Because we have people go spiritually weirdo with this scripture. Faith can only receive what Jesus has provided from the cross. Let me back up. Faith only receives what grace has provided. There it is. And so, hey, look. I had a young lady and my singles group years ago, college student, and I was friends with a evangelist, and boy, he's a great evangelist. I'm not going to say his name. Some of you may know him, but we were friends, and one of the highlights of my life was getting to preach a camp together with him. We had a swap out each night, and I thought it was such an honor because as a teenager, he was one of my heroes in the Lord. Great-looking guy, I mean, good-looking guy, very gifted, and most people were wooed by the Spirit when he spoke. Some girls were wooed by his looks. But really and truly, I had a college girl that said, God told me I'm to marry him. You need to introduce us. I said, that ain't going to happen. She said, yeah, God told me, and I'm believing, I'm claiming this scripture. Whatever I pray, my desire, in Jesus' name, he's going to give it. And I said, well, I got an announcement to you. He's already in a relationship. So, ex-nay on that. She said, no, God told me I'm going to do it, and I'm going to get married, and I want you to do the ceremony. I said, no, I'm going to go ahead of time and say no. I am not going to be associated with it. Now, see, that's getting kind of off in spook land. You can't take a verse out of context. You take a text out of context, you're left with con. But here's the deal, really and truly, you can't take a verse and zero in on your selfish, lustful desires and say, God's going to make this happen because it's in the Bible. Okay? Don't go there. I had a bank robber in my church one time. Okay, let me tell you something. Faith cannot receive what grace has not provided. Okay, you can't pray for success and victory in a bank robbery because Jesus didn't provide grace for stealing. That's not his way of provision. You see, that sounds so silly. People think that way, so don't go to Spookville. Okay, go to the Bible. And if you get some thoughts like that, talk to Pastor Justin or Pastor Don. They love to talk to you about that kind of stuff. I could possibly hurt your feelings, so go to them. Look, Let me tell you something. Grace has provided provision. Grace provided provision, protection. Anybody want protection? You don't have to fear. God protects. Power. You're not limited by power. We have resurrection power in us. Great peace, love, joy, wisdom. Anybody getting a home run here? How about favor from God in this life? How about the kingdom being multiplied? You see? Grace didn't provide for victory and success in worldliness, in darkness. No, no, no. It's for the kingdom. Okay? Look at Romans 10:10. For with the heart a person believes. Let me just back up. I got to back up. I don't know if everybody's with me. Let me tell you a little example here. A couple years ago, when I was visiting with son Chris down in the Austin area, he got a beautiful wife, two precious little daughters, and Adeline was about 3 at this time, I think, right? 2? Yeah, probably 2 years old. And we're there, and I'm playing with the girls, you know, mom and daddy doing their, you know, and I'm playing with the girls, we having a big time. And she said, Papa T, you want to hear a song? I said, sure. And she goes like this, Alexis, ra-da-da. And she told Alexis what song, and the song started playing. Huh? Alexa? See, I'm all about this. Now, I want to tell you what surprised me is that she used the same voice that her daddy used when daddy talked to Alexa. It wasn't a begging voice. Okay? You know what? When Chris talked to Alexa, it was a command. Now, when little 2-year-old Adeline talked to Alexa, it sounded just like her daddy. And it was with authority. And it wasn't begging. She was commanding. She told Alexa what to do and how to do it. And Alexa did. And I'm sitting there and the Holy Spirit speaking to me, yeah! Do you see it? Whatever our champion Jesus Christ has spoken and done is for us too. We are joint heirs with Christ. We're an overcomer. We're more than a conqueror. And He's teaching the disciples and He's teaching us today. This is the way of God, the principle of God operates in faith. It's voice activated. And when you voice activate, you're not to beg. You're to be a commander. Under Christ, submitted to Christ, the words of Christ, but be a commander. For with a heart, person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ. And by the way, that kind of believing is wholeheartedness. It's not a mental acknowledgement. Do you see the difference there? And so it's justified. Declared righteous and acceptable to God, with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks openly about his faith, and confirms his salvation is manifested. And so Jesus is describing how a person accepts him. It's with the heart that a man believes, and it's with their mouth that they confess Christ, and salvation's manifested. Do you see it? Okay, the same way we receive Christ is the same way we walk in him. The same way you receive salvation by grace through faith is the same way you walk through this life by grace through faith. With the heart believing and with the mouth speaking. Are you with me? Okay. Example, when I pray with someone to receive Christ, and I've had this happen a number of times, and we get through praying, I'm saying, all right, now you need to go tell somebody. Then, no, 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 let's keep this a secret. If they don't want to tell anybody, then I want to tell you there's a real question whether it was in their heart or not. Okay? Hey, those who get through praying to receive Christ and they say, wait, I got to go call mama. I got to go tell somebody. Listen, that's a healthy sign. Okay? When they're willing to stand up in front of church and say, hey, I gave my life to Christ this week. That's very powerful. The salvation of the Lord is manifest. Okay? Heart believing. Confessing, salvation's manifest, made known, made real. Are you with me? Okay. That's the voice of the risen Christ through the Apostle Paul right there, Romans 10:10. And that word salvation I've explained to you before is sozo. is a Greek word that actually refers to being saved from all kinds of peril of life. And so it is salvation into heaven. It is salvation of a new creation. But that salvation is all-inclusive word. It shouldn't shock us too much because our Savior is all-inclusive. He's the great I Am. He's the more than enough for whatever we need. Hey, in this life and the next, somebody say amen. And so it actually means deliverance, to be set free, to be restored. Is that good news? To be made whole, to be healed. It also means provision, protection. It's all inclusive. That's how big your Jesus is. It means more than what we can describe. He's everything we need. He's our shepherd. We shall not lack in anything. He's the I Am. Somebody say He's more than enough. In simple terms, we receive the greatest gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We also receive every other accompanying gift and blessing into our life by believing in our heart, lining up ourselves, our heart, with what God says, what believing in our heart, and speaking and confessing it. That's very powerful. Jesus went further on champion chatter. You want to hear a little more? Okay, let's go with him. He told his disciples that whatever things they spoke and asked for in prayer, whatever they spoke and asked for in prayer, they had to believe that they already received them before having them. Is that interesting? Hey, love, hope, and faith. All right, we got to see it on the inside before we see it on the outside. Boy, I've done series on that. Mark 11:24. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident in Him. All right, you heard me say it in East Texas term. It's done, done, and it's yourn. Christ has already provided. Okay, hey, you lean on Him, depend on Him, and rest on Him. Hey, and you know what? Jesus said it's granted to you, and you'll get it. That's beautiful. That's worth meditating on. He did show and tell with the fig tree. Let me tell you what He didn't say. He didn't speak the words to the fig tree. And then He said, you know, He didn't say, okay, no one will ever eat fruit of you again. And then He said, okay, guys, pull up a stool. Let's sit around and see if God's going to do something. Now, wait a minute. Christians do that. They'll pray and they say, well, it's, you know, we gambled on that. I mean, you know, we shot it out there. Let's see if God will. Let's see if God might. We know He can, but I don't know if He will for me. Or, well, I know God has done things like that, and He's all powerful, but will He really want to do this now for us? You hear what I'm saying? Well, Jesus didn't pull up a chair and have everybody sit around and say, let's see what's happened. And then they didn't wait for a while and say, oh, I don't know, I understand why it's taking so long. It just didn't work. I'm trying to paint a picture because, you know, come on. People do this. No, listen to me. Important. The moment Jesus spoke, He believed what He had spoken to the tree had already taken place at its roots. He didn't need to see it on the outside to believe it on the inside. That would be out of order. To the Lord, it was as if it had already happened. Because it had. He saw it on the inside. The manifestation of the outside is not the most important part. It's seeing it on the inside. What Jesus was asking His disciples to do was to believe without seeing and then start acting as if what they had asked for had already happened. You say, boy, that's unworldly. Yes, it is. That's spiritual. That's kingdom of God. That's not the way the world operates. And you can't operate that way unless you reprogram your computer with the Word of God. Because you automatically default in the world way of operating. I heard amen so much right there. I'm waiting for him to die down before. This probably reminded the disciples of something else that He had told them. He had encouraged them to respond to the promises in God's Word by believing and speaking as if they had already received what those promises said they had. Was that too much for you? Let me look at this scripture, Mark 4:25, because this is what He told him in Mark 4:25. For to him who has, that's an important word, has. You say, well, you know, a little, no, it's an important word. Him who has will more be given. And from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. Now that little word has is very important. And in the Greek it means this. It means to own it. It means to possess. How do we own a miracle? How do we possess a miracle? How do we put our name on it? By claiming it with our words, surrendering it to it in our heart, agreeing with our heart, seeing it in our heart, speaking it with our mouth, speaking it out. So let's capture this emphasis. I got a few minutes, so stay with me. Let's capture this emphasis that the Lord wants us to get about champion chatter, because he wants us to operate this way. Faith. Hey, look, everything in the kingdom operates by love. And so I want to tell you, your love life with the Lord is what will illuminate this for you. Because you got to know that you're loved, and you got to know, you got to respond to him in love. You got to know that his love for you, see, that's the first stage. That his love, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Because if you're not there, any little condemnation enemy send your way will get you off track. But listen, when you're convinced that he loves you and you're letting the Lord love on you, then whatever happens, are you listening? Whatever happens, you'll say, God loves me. Well, my car and this and it, God loves me. Hey, well, somebody's sick and you know, I'm disappointed. God loves me. No matter what happens, I'm telling you, God loves me. And he has my best interest in mind. Because he's promised to work it out for my good and his glory. So whatever happened, God loves me. And boy, when, you see? And then I want to tell you, when you're receiving his love life, hope comes. Hope is the expectation of the goodness of God. And that expectation rises up. And what you didn't have hope for in the past, all of a sudden there's fresh light. And because you're loved by the Lord, you know he wants to love on you, and his goodness and mercy is chasing you down, as it says in Psalm 23. And you know that his heart is to be good to you. And so your hope rises in him. Amen. And when there's hope there, guess what? Faith shows up. Faith cometh by hearing. And you're hearing the word of God, and hope is springing forth out of you. And faith is there. Is it something you work up emotionally? No, no, no. Remember, it's God's kind of faith. It's the God faith in you. No limit. And so faith comes from that hope, you know, that revelation, that we personally already have what we ask for in prayer. Now I want to tell you what God has provided for you. He did 2,000 years ago. He did a great job, and he provided more than enough, because he's the more than enough for what you need right now. You say, Brother Tim, he didn't have any idea. Yes, he did. He's Almighty God. And so it's already been provided. And I want to tell you, the Bible says that the windows of heaven open up to pour out upon you. I want to tell you, that's his heart. Do you see that? It's divine revelation. You got to get it from God. Me just saying it is not going to be enough. You got to hear it from the Lord. And you got to see it or hear it in your imagination room that he gave you on that big screen. Hope and faith believe that we already have what we asked for in prayer. And so it comes out like this. Lord, you know, I need such and such and such and such. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes it's already been provided. By the works of the cross, it's already done. And I thank you that what you've provided, I receive by grace through faith. Somebody say amen. And so that's why that we can pray and give thanksgiving at the same time. Pray always without ceasing, with thanksgiving. Man, that's a different form of praying. See, that way we're not praying begging. God don't want you to beg. It's already been done. Amen. Hey, you don't deserve it. You can't earn it. It's by grace. Unmerited favor. Jesus has just already done this because of his works on the cross for you. And I want to tell you what makes a difference. It's for you to agree with it. And for you to speak it. You know what? It comes out like this. Thank you, Lord. I want to tell you, when Jesus had thousands of people sitting down on that pasture, and all he had was two fish tacos from a little boy. And you know what? He already knew. Because the Lord had, God had already showed him in his heart what he was going to do. And so you know what? He already had the hope. He knew the Lord loved all those people and cared whether they were hungry. He had the hope of what he was going to do. He saw it on the inside, and that's why he messed with his disciples about it and teaching them. And then he said, let's thank Father. And they referred to it later. This is where Jesus gave thanks for the food before we saw it. Wow! That's the way he operates. God's word says, that's hearing. We have it in the visible before we see it in the visible. And number two is this. The Lord's instructing us to speak and act as if it's already done. As if we already have our miracle. That's what him is. That's the believing part. And then we speaking it like it's already done. And we take it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt us to act toward that. To take a step toward that miracle. And at the time, I'm telling you, no emotion. Cold-blooded obedience. Just by what Jesus has said, and we believe in, and we speak to that mountain, we speak to that mulberry tree, we speak to that lion fig tree, and we take a step that direction, and I want to tell you, with that step and with that speaking, I want to tell you the power of God is released. It's activated. Already there, activated. You see, he wants our cooperation. He wants our interaction. He wants to not just do something for you. He wants to do something with you. Amen. Boy, that's a big difference. Because in this interaction, it causes you to know him deeper and bigger and greater. And to know his love in deeper ways. And you know what? It gives you testimony of the power of his works. Because the Holy Spirit will use that testimony of his works in your life. And the Holy Spirit says this to people, what I've done for Pastor Don, I'll do for you. You see, he's no respecter of persons. And it helps energize and spark faith. Are you with me on that? Boy, how exciting this is. We get to be a part of it. Because the truth is, you do have it. The truth is, it's already been done. Jesus' work on the cross was great victory. It wasn't a defeat. And let me announce to you, it wasn't a barely enough provision. It was a provision. Way far more than any of us could ever meet. Way far more. Hey, we paid a price. He paid a price we couldn't pay. It was more than enough. It was so much love poured out from the cross. That his blood actually obliterated our sin into nothingness. His blood provided the victory for everything we'll ever face in this life. His blood was more than enough. His death is our victory. And we celebrate. It may not be in the visible right now, but that doesn't make any difference. Okay? Hey, hope, faith, evidence of things hoped for. And those things that are hoped for are invisible at the moment, but they're more real. The invisible is more real than the visible. I love what Brother Young points out in biblical Hebrew, and I hope you get this. If not, it's worth thinking on. Is that he announces in his Bible and his concordance that, you know what, there is no future tense in Hebrew. I want you to just think on that. There's no future tense. Now, English, we don't talk that way. But Hebrew, no future tense. And so when his people spoke, it came out in such a way that they would term the need as though they already possessed all the good things they were speaking about needing. Was that too much? For example, in Deuteronomy 28, and I could go in a number of places, but it goes like this. Our English Bibles, they read, blessed shall ye be. Right? Blessed shall ye be. And it sounds like, in English, it sounds like, well, the blessing's not really here yet. No, no. Hey, God, Bible says, he saw our need even before we needed it. His provision for us is already provided even before we know we have a need. And so, but the translators, they put that word shall in there for our English readability. That's about the only way I know to explain that. So it makes sense to our English. All right? But it wasn't in the original Hebrew text. That's why you see some words italicized. It means that the translators put that in there to help you read it. All right? Not to change the message, but to help you read it. But in the Hebrew, the original text, and this is what Young's is so famous for, it comes out instead of saying, blessed shall ye be, it comes out a more accurate reading like this, blessed are you already. Already done. That's why we can join East Texas and say, done, done, and it's yourn. That's great Bible. May not be great English, but it's great theology, it's great Bible. And that's what God has in mind for us. And so he wants you to know that. And he wants you to practice that. Now, you can't practice that by operating off a world mindset. That's why we got to get in here, get this word in us, and align and submit our heart to what God says, even though we may not see it with our physical eyes, and we start speaking and acting it out, what God already says, even though we don't feel it, can't smell it, can't touch it, okay? No senses. We have to do it by cold-blooded obedience by faith and let God be God. And every man a liar. Because God loves his word and he confirms his word in and through our life for others. Amen? Let's give God praise. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you and he wants you to be a champion chatter. All right? To use the voice of champions this week. And so that's why we practice the confessions of a new creation, and we'll be sharing with you guys about that in the future in this series. But that's why we say what God says. It's important. And we begin to act out what God says even before we see it or feel it. Amen? That's the way the kingdom of God operates. I love you so much. I bless you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for the power of your word. We pray that your word will have deep and lasting effect that you desire it to. I speak to hearts to be open, that eyes will be open, ears of the hearts be open to hear and see what you're saying, and that we just receive that the Holy Spirit will witness deep down these dynamic kingdom principles that will cause us to be champions in Christ, because you've called us to be, and you've announced that we are, and we want to be all that you say. Lord, you deserve what you paid for in us. And we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Thank you for being a part of this. We're going to pick up with Elisha next week. He's a champion, okay? All right, I'm excited about it. Excited about you. Amen.